share the message, share what the Lord has given you, Nelson.
Well, thank you for that opening. That's pretty exciting. We have just such thrilling words to sing about, don't we? What else is there that reaches into eternity but the Christmas story? Everything else falls short. This morning, what I'd like to do is, first of all, go into the Old Testament and give an example of a lesson we can learn about Christmas, and then cover the reason for Christmas and challenge our lives with that. First of all, I do like history. And, you know, as you read history, it's amazing what has happened. Mankind, he is, wow. And what all will happen yet, it is just amazing. But, you know, I think the most amazing thing in history of man that has ever happened, that has made more impact on the world than anything else, is that God the Creator came into this world in all of his infinite being into a few pounds of bone and flesh as a baby. For the most amazing reason. Christmas is just known all over the world. It's celebrated and people rejoice all over the world. I would like to turn to Jeremiah chapter 8. Verse 20 to 22, I will read verse 19 too. And I want to give you a bit of back history here, what's happened. Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and he had cried long and hard to the children of Israel that it turned their back to God. At this point, the children of Israel had come to a place that God said, now there's no returning. Judgment's going to come. I'm going to judge you. The prophet is overwhelmed, and he makes some rather remarkable statements here. And I'm going to read from verse 19 to 22 and make a few comments here. Then I want to go to the New Testament and carry on there. This is the prophet Jeremiah crying out, "Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images, with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Sometimes I feel that same cry of that prophet. There was a physician in Gilead. There was medicine there for the situation, but they refused it. Why? Judgment came, and their land was destroyed, and they were taken away. That's Christmas for us today. We stand in the same situation. There is a Savior is come. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 tells us a Savior has come. And he is Christ, the Lord, the anointed, God himself. He is come to save. Why? Why all this trouble? I can't answer that. Why people turn their back on a Savior? We are given the choice to turn to the Savior and to experience forgiveness, peace, hope, meaning, and answers in life. Or we're given the opportunity to turn from Him and experience destruction and hopelessness. That decision is up to each one of us. I want to turn to some words the Lord spoke, and I think are very applicable to Christmas. It's in Luke chapter 4. And I want to challenge our hearts with these words, and trust they will encourage us as well as challenge us. The Lord Jesus came, the Savior came to Israel again, as the girl sang, born in Bethlehem, and he presented himself as the balm, the medicine, and the physician for Israel. And here in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord Jesus came to Nazareth, where he grew up as a boy. And his whole life, pretty well. And he goes into the synagogue. And he gets up and reads. And he opens the book to Isaiah. And these are the words the Lord Jesus reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And as he told the children of Israel, or the folk in that synagogue, that he was the fulfillment of that verse, and that their fathers rejected God, and they are going to too. And he is going to go to the Gentiles because of it. They got so mad. They took him, cast him out of the synagogue, and they were going to throw him down head first on a big cliff close to there. What does this verse mean for us? First of all, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because my work, or I'm anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the meaning of Christmas. The good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, the world needs it. The world desperately needs it. That good news that he came to be a Savior to all the world, all mankind, whosoever will. And you know, it says to preach the gospel to the poor. That word can have a doubled meaning. It can mean that your pocketbook's empty, but it can also mean poor, broken, poor in spirit. It can mean both. It's used both ways. When we think about the Lord Jesus, does he know what it is to be poor? Think of him. He was born in poverty. His parents, first of all, in spirit and dollar-wise, he was so poor. In the sense, his parents, Mary, what she went through to have him was a lot of humility and a lot of talk. She nearly lost her boyfriend through it. And you know, when the time came, she didn't have a midwife. The Bible clearly says she delivered that baby herself and wrapped him in cloths, grave cloths, and laid him in a manger. Jesus knew what it was to be poor. When the time came, the 8 days to circumcise him, the law clearly tells us what they're supposed to bring. And then it adds a little PS onto it. And it says, by the way, if you can't bring a goat, or if you can't bring a sheep, if you're poor, bring two turtle doves. And that's what his parents brought. It shows the poverty in which he was born. But oh, the good news of Jesus Christ, that we can tell people there is a Savior. There is medicine for their situation, no matter what it is. It's Jesus. He came. He was born. He lived. He died. He rose again. He's at the right hand of God today. The next thing I want to go through here and then challenge our hearts with all of this. So the next thing we're going to go to is he's sent to heal the brokenhearted. That's quite a job. Have you ever dealt with someone who's brokenhearted? To heal him, only Jesus can do that. I'm sure we've all experienced it to a certain extent. Life can be very cruel and unfair. We can be let down by others. Our hopes can be dashed. But with Christ, it changes. He heals the brokenhearted. I would like to tell you a few stories about that. In the library here, we have a book called At the Foot of the Snow. It is missionaries we met when we were over in India last year. Miriam was with them through this whole story of that book. I remember being at the Voskamp home and praying for this couple many times. It's an amazing story. They went deep into the mountains of the Himalayas. No roads. There's only helicopters could get in. Only foot trails. And the houses were built on the edge of steep mountains. They were literally like steps up the mountains. These hardy Nepali people were lived there and idol worshippers. Dave Waters and his wife felt the Lord was calling them in there to learn that language. A miracle how they got in. You'll have to read the book if you want to find out. The Lord did a miracle there. But they got in. They translated God's word with the most difficult life and fierce opposition from demonism. They got God's word there, and the people turned to the Lord, almost the whole village. Now there was a problem. It was illegal to worship anybody else but the leader of Nepal. The authorities heard about this. They came in there. They took some of the main leaders and said, "We're going to put you in jail." The whole village, 70 of the believers, came out and said, "If you put them in jail, you have to put us in jail, because we all are believers, and you can't just put them in jail and not us." But they didn't have enough room in the jail for that many. They finally took 10 of them. And being put in jail there, I think they had a shelter over their head. Their feet were in stocks. The family had to look after them. There they sat. The missionary couple went and cried all night. They wept. "What have we done to these people?" They hardly dared to go back to the jail the next day, but they did. And the men were all right. And they said, "No, we knew this could cost us this. But you know what happened? God was there. Their broken hearts? No. Jesus heals broken hearts." Here's another miracle. The one person was an absolute excellent poet. And there was another person among them who was excellent in music. And it so happened, these two guys were stocked right beside each other. And these guys were rejoicing in the Lord. And the one guy started making up poems and lines. And the other guy started making music. And then they'd all sing it together. And when they were let go out of that jail, that's how the first Calm hymn book was made. Oh, brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus can heal broken hearts. That's why he came. The next thing, preach deliverance to the captives. Today, there are many, many people captive. Captive to sin, addictions, sex, greed, work. Life has ruined and just ruined their lives. They're captives. Christmas is about bringing deliverance to captives. I'm going to give you another story here, just to help you really grasp our society today. My brother Owen and Donna have a daughter living in Saskatchewan, so they headed up to visit her. And as they were going close to Sault Ste. Marie, they saw this hitchhiker. They decided to pick him up. The guy looked tough. He was not healthy, thin, and he hardly talked. They tried to visit with him. They tried to witness to him. He wasn't interested. And finally, night came, and they stopped for the motel there, and they let him off, and they slept. The next morning, they started going again, and lo and behold, this guy was hitchhiking again. So they picked him up again. And somewhere along the line, they stopped for some food and offered him food. He didn't want to eat. And they carried on. And this is what they got out of him. About all they got out of him was, "Well, you know, a little while ago, my brother was found dead in the ditch under 6 inches of water. And that's going to be me one of these days." Sad. Lives captives, held. Another story, I'll just quickly say this. Some of you have heard it. When we were, Viola and I were in Anchorage, Alaska, or close to it, we saw this hitchhiker. Viola hardly ever says it, but she said, "Should we pick him up?" I said, "Yeah, okay, okay." So we pulled off. We picked up this hitchhiker, which turned out to be a lady or a girl. And she thanked us and, oh, thank you, Lord, and talked like this. And finally, Viola asked her if she knew the Lord. And she says, yes, I read my Bible every day. And we talked a little more with her. And she said, I used to be on drugs, but I'm almost off of drugs. I just thank Jesus. And right now, she had come from Fairbanks, which is about 500 kilometers away from where we were. She had come from Fairbanks hitchhiking to visit her husband in that village where we were going to drop her off. He was in jail because of drugs. And she said he wanted deliverance as well. She really believes he wants to turn around. So we gave her some tracts. We offered her some food, but she didn't want that hardly. But we had a Bible along. She was so thankful for that. We dropped her off. We pulled off the main stream. If you've ever been in Anchorage, traffic is crazy. Speed limits don't mean anything. I mean, over a speed limit doesn't mean anything. And heavy traffic. We pulled off of a road and at a light and let her off. And we started driving away. And she turned around and came running to us and said, oh, I wanted so much to ask you to pray for me. So we prayed for her and still do. Oh, brothers and sisters, Jesus came to deliver captives. He can do it. The next thing is recovering of sight to the blind. Jesus did that literally, but he can do it spiritually today. When a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into him. He'll never be the same. If he's born again, he's a different person. And the Holy Spirit comes into him and enlightens, brings life. He can understand spiritual things. And I very much experienced that when I was 13 years old and I finally understood what it meant to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The songs, the Bible, everything, I understood it like never before. What a joy that was. And there are quite a few references here I have that bring that out. But I'm going to leave them. I see my time's running away on me. So let's go on to number five. The fifth reason why Jesus said he came. To set at liberty those that are bruised. That word bruised literally means crushed or shattered. It could very well be the result of a broken heart that the person's never gotten over, and he is held in bondage by it, with grief and pain, and person just can't seem to get over this. It's crushed him. It's crushed his confidence, his hope, and his desire to live. Jesus came to set those at liberty, to give them a freedom over that. I'd like to read 1 Peter. This is a beautiful passage. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 7. And again, if they come to the Lord Jesus, he died so they can be delivered. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit on yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's a number of steps here that will bring deliverance from a crushed spirit. First of all, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And that means, Lord, your will be done. If it hurts more, it hurts more. I'm in your hands. You do with me what you want to. I'm submitted. And you know what? It says God gives grace. He reaches out to that life that will do that. And he'll give grace. He'll give comfort, healing. He'll give grace. And as you keep doing that, he will exalt you in due time. Because he cares for you. In my life, I think one of the big things I had to learn at one time is just to say, Lord, thank you for making me like you have. I accept that. I'm in your hands. I am what I am, and I accept that. That is one of big steps, is accepting what God has made you and searching for what God wants with your life. Nobody else is like you. You have a special place. Christmas is about setting at liberty those that are crushed or shattered. He can heal and lift up. The last thing our Lord talks about is very sobering. And this brings all of us under the magnifying glass. And I want to challenge you all in the new year with this. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Lord Jesus closed the book at that point. That prophecy went on, and it said, for the days of vengeance are in the heart of God. It's not quoted quite right, but that's what it means. But Jesus closed the book at that point. He didn't say those words because, friends, brothers and sisters, anyone who isn't a believer, the acceptable year of the Lord is going to end someday. And the day of vengeance is going to come. Are you ready? Christ could come back this year. Death could call any one of us, no matter how young or how old. The other thing I really believe as I read Scripture, no man can come to God except God draw him. And in my own life, I experienced this. At times, the Holy Spirit worked, and I became convicted. And God drew me and brought to my attention the need of my soul. And then it would fade. The Holy Spirit let me go. And then he drew me again. We do see it in Scripture at times that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit stops striving. And he says, okay, if you want that, I'm going to join you. And I'm going to help you right along and going away from me. And he uses them to his honor and glory in causing to turn from God and showing how awful life is without him. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are crushed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. As we walk in a society that by far doesn't know the Lord, and we meet these people, are we willing to lead them to Christ? We can't do one of those things, but Jesus can. Are we willing to say, there's someone who can help you? Are you willing to give a listening ear to the person and feeling his hurt? The person might reject it and say no. And you can't do anything about that. And it's not good to force it on them. The Holy Spirit has to prepare the heart. But you can tell them, a Savior's come. He can do each one of these things, whatever that person needs. You can bring them to Christ and let Christ heal and change their lives. What a challenge for us as an assembly this year. Would you pray that God would give you one person this year to really work with spiritually, to witness to? Imagine if each one of us really prayed that, and God would answer that prayer. How would this chapel look in a year from now? I think we've lost our concern for the lost. We have it very nice. And yeah, now and then, and I say this myself, I used to do a lot more witnessing than I do now. But because people don't want to hear it, and very seldom do you get a hearing ear, you just don't feel like doing it. But pray. Ask God to give you a soul and bring a soul to you, whatever it might be. Jesus came for that very reason, all of those reasons, to change lives, to bring hope and joy to hearts for all people. What a Savior. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we indeed rejoice together here at the wonder of Christmas. The miracle, how an infinite God who came out of eternity into time and out of the limitless space of eternity or whatever it is into a little body and came for the express purpose to bring us to himself that he might heal our lives. We thank you again for that, Lord. And again, Lord, lay on our hearts the lost. May we see souls saved. May we see souls healed and brought comfort and hope and joy. We just cry for our country, Lord. May you help us. We commit ourselves to you as a chapel. Amen.